Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. Welcome back. It is Friday, the end of the work week, but not necessarily the end of the week. This show is also sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org, as well as 1798Part2.org and RepublicReview.org. You are listening to the only show that gives you the unvarnished and unabashed truth regarding getting the federal government and the dangers we're facing and trying to actually get you and everybody to recognize that we've got to stop chasing the distractions. We need to literally focus on the prize. If we want to save our Constitution and the Republic, we have to focus on the prize. So that's one of the reasons why I kind of go through some of the news and some of the things I do, and I don't let the news du jour dictate, because it's more important that I provide you the perspective of how these things are literally the distractions. But before I get into those distractions, let me just tell you, the number to call in today is 215-867-8255. That is our Friday dial-in number. Or you can also dial in 215-TOP-TALK. So I will be getting more into the Trump promises. I think that this is great that we're actually finding out really what Trump has been doing and how much of he's been holding up to his promises. In comparison to a lot, I mean, Obama kept up with his promises. He wanted to fundamentally destroy the nation and literally make us a third or fourth world nation. So Trump is looking like he's doing a very good job. And I'll even go on to say that he's probably the second, or he might be tied with Reagan, because he's actually doing things that Reagan didn't do. I mean, Reagan is a great articulate presence in front of the microphone and so forth, and he was a phenomenal president. But in contrast to all of the rest of the presidents, I will tell you, Trump, there's no doubt in my mind, I think Trump has probably done more for, you know, trying to get us back onto track. But then on the other side, I still see some things. Why aren't these other things happening? And so we can't make the final decision on Trump's presidency today. We have to kind of let time and history kind of take its course, okay? So let me kind of move on. As you know, if you have not watched that video on my Take Action page, go watch it. I know that we've probably had over a couple thousand people look at this in the different iterations and different versions, exact same video, but we've posted it a few different places and so forth. So we've had quite a few people look at it. And I will tell you that as people look at that, I've yet to find any, we get these comical comments. Oh, well, because they're myopically focused on corporations, they're myopically focused on what they want to do. So go ahead and look at the comments as well. But go look at that video, most importantly, so that you can understand really what the Constitution is. It's plain and simple. It is a contract or a compact amongst the states. This is an irrefutable argument, and I challenge you to go watch that, because I believe once you do, then you're going to want to know more, and you'll find it not only fascinating, you will find it, as I find it, the irrefutable argument of what we need to do if we're going to save our constitutional republic. So I also want to do the obligatory, and I'm going to glide through this. If you want to financially support us, we have a GoFundMe campaign. If you want to help, send me an email, info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. Or I would even submit that you can join the Constitution Club. And as soon as I get the first right folks on, I will give you their information regarding how to join them and get involved with them. All of these causes are causes of things that literally need to get done. However, if you look at it in the Covey quadrants, if you're familiar with the seven habits of highly successful people, there's these quadrants of, urgent, and important, need to have and need or nice to have. Anyway, and I'm kind of, what's a good word for bastardizing? I guess that's the best word for it. So I'm kind of hacking at the Covey quadrants, but he talks about draining the swamp, right? I mean, it was the first time in the book, I mean, decades ago, where he talks about draining the swamp, and we can literally talk about that. We got to drain the swamp, but we also have to fight off alligators. And the alligators we have to fight off is literally the federal government. The only way we're going to truly drain that swamp and fight off the alligators is Republic Review. And once you get this through your brain, you will actually be on target with this, because more and more people are realizing that their myopic vision is completely supported by Republic Review, whether that is immigration, whether that is healthcare, whether that is abortion, whether that is the family. It doesn't matter. All of these things get the federal government out of controlling and manipulating our lives. Then the next step is the state. And as a matter of fact, a part of Republic Review is getting the states to comply to their own constitutions and also educating the counties so that they can actually rise up to the level of sovereignty that they should be, and rewriting their own constitution. So let me kind of move forward. I've already done the groveling, and I will tell you, as I looked through the news, as I always do, there is no sign that the federal government is going to disband any of its tyrannical roles, responsibilities, and powers, which means it is up to you and I. And so what I want to do at this point is if we're going to save this, if you and I are going to get the results that we want in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution, we have to stop chasing distractions. Is the wall a distraction? No, that's business as usual. That really is business as usual. Is Nancy Pelosi trying to fly around? I do have a question on that, and I'm going to go on an aside. Since when does the Speaker of the House, or even the President of the Senate is the Vice President, but where does the congressman, whether they be in the Senate or the House of Representatives, have any need? There is no role within the Constitution for them to create relations. That is strictly a presidential role. It has been one of those things that the presidents for a long time have kind of allowed to happen. Get these guys back into the framework here. Pelosi has no business traveling around. Remember how the Democrats were, obscenely, disgusted with the idea of how the Republican Congress had Netanyahu come and speak because they have no business. There's no role for that. What hypocrisy. The fact that she's going to go off and do this worldwide tour. What a hypocrite. Do you think she's kind of ramping herself up to try to become president? Do you think she's trying to, get the image and the persona out there? Kind of like Obama. He started doing a worldwide tour long before he became president. We need to actually put these people back into check. The president and the presidential administration is where foreign policy is set. And there's actually laws on that the federal government and the president has those very specific powers, that Congress can't be going around the president. That is a violation of the separation of powers. But anyway, I know that everybody is probably infuriated on that, but it is the distraction. If you look at all the little things that are going on, it is the distraction. There's nice distractions out there that are noteworthy. I'll give you one. When Gladys Knight said she was going to do the Super Bowl anthem, then I thought that would, I've always liked her. I've always liked Gladys Knight. And the fact that she's doing this, and I think this speaks to her moral character, understanding what the Star Spangled Banner is and the context of it. And regardless of what everybody says about the fourth verse, it was a reality at the time. You've got to understand the Star Spangled Banner was written during the 1812 war, or the ending of the Revolutionary War. There were some really abominable things that were done as political compromise. We've constantly compromised. And if anything, I would think that those of a black heritage would say, stop compromising, stop trying to compromise our rights to bear arms and our liberties. every time we make a compromise, we lose liberties. And you would think that the blacks in America would be the champions of preserving liberty instead of being the champions of surrendering them. So my hat is off big time to Gladys Knight for actually stepping in and doing this. And the fact is, even though she's a longtime civil rights activist, and even though we've had this huge heat up over the NFL, I think it's about time somebody like her gets out there and pokes people like Colin Kaepernick and the rest of the social justice warriors, the communists that are out there that are literally, that's what they are. They are social justice warriors, and they are trying to be ambassadors to help promote communism and social justice. I've got promos on social justice on this show, and if you look at the definition, it is communism. It is the same thing. It is tantamount to promoting socialism, which is the precursor to us falling into communism. You know, I'm going to wait because I know I'm coming up on a break real quick. And I know I've been railing a lot on local business. I'm going to tie it all together for you. And I know some of you have missed this, so I'll kind of do a real quick recap on the importance in looking at how local government functions and how this all trickles up, or I should say how, because it is going from bottom up. But we're basically getting the exact same results out of our federal government, state government, and county government. So I'll tie it all together when we get a chance to come back from the break. As you can tell, there's the break. So again, local governments and how they manipulate us and how they continually obfuscate what the real problems are. And so we're going to get back to that and tie this all into the federal government and make this a marketing ploy for you to understand the importance of Republic Review. So we'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. Thank you so much. Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with Republic Review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as Republic Review. Please read my argument for Republic Review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue. And as I was just going into, and I figured I would elucidate after the break, when I was making the reference that your local government and how it literally puts off the services that it needs to do, that it is obligated to do, so that it spends its money on the other things, is very common. However, the local government is probably the most strangled government that we've got because, as I've said, the federal government and state create all sorts of regulations to constrain you and your local economy. Now, once a city comes along, cities all of a sudden become little vestiges or bastions for progressives and big government, and so they start infiltrating, and next thing you know, the city kind of takes over the county. Well, let me get back to the whole point of how these are all kind of common, because if you look at the federal government, as I've been telling you, over 80% of the money it spends is unconstitutional. There's no authority in the Constitution to let them spend money on healthcare, on education. There's no money for them to constrain us with energy and to tax us to the high heavens with energy. Same thing with housing and urban development. It goes on and on. There are 12 executive departments. The only constitutional departments, technically, and actually, the only three is the defense, or what they used to call the War Department, the State Department, and the Treasury Department. That is it. And so what the federal government does is it spends its money in buying votes, and then they say, oh, well, we're going to have to raise taxes because we need to keep our up-to-date military. We need to spend money like what Trump is doing right now in trying to spend money on national security because that's in the Constitution. They're saying, no way. That's precisely why I have been railing on the fact that they're obligated to provide this national security. They're not obligated to provide housing and urban development. They're not obligated to provide welfare. They are not obligated to constrain us and actually shackle us to healthcare and all of these other enslavements. What we need to do is republic review. We've got to audit the Constitution. I mean, what's it going to take? I mean, if you don't understand why Trump is having these problems, because either he comes out and says all of this is unconstitutional, like I've been railing for the past week and a half, 2 weeks, literally 2 weeks. I've pointed out that I've written him a letter and I've asked that they actually start writing EOs to get rid of the EPA, to get rid of education, clearly stating that there is nowhere in the Constitution where we've been delegated this power to have these roles, responsibilities, powers, and to be able to tax the states and the people so that we could waste their money. Let's let them keep their money and let them manage their education and environment and everything else on their own. We have no business doing this. Until they amend the Constitution in granting and delegating that power to us, we have no business doing it. As George Nicholas says, we have no business meddling with these things. And so he needs to write EOs. And like I've been saying, if Trump actually goes down that path of writing EOs to dismantle some of the government like I've been watching for, then I'm telling you that he would literally put, I think some of the Democrats and progressives might actually have heart attacks. Some of you may say that's a good thing. I'm not advocating that we kill people. I don't think that we need to go down that, you know, that extreme of a path. What I am believing and what I am asserting is that we start doing this, and when they, you know, recover from whatever ailments that they have, because they, you know, they literally have a health seizure or whatever, then we can start educating them on the concept of literally limited government. Anybody that believes that we have an unlimited government, I believe they need to sign a general power of attorney to me. That way, if they've got any property, they own anything, I can just come right in there and sell it all and get rid of everything to make their life, I just downsize them to the simplicity of being completely dependent on the government. How's that sound? They can live in government housing. They can get their SNAP, you know, food stamps or whatever. And we'll make their life a lot easier, because a general power of attorney literally empowers that person who has that power of attorney in their behalf to do anything and everything they want. As Mr. Iredell points out in the North Carolina ratification debates, if you read that, he clearly says that what we have in this Constitution is not a general Constitution. It is enumerated. It is limited to these very specific powers. And that was the brilliance. That is why I'm telling you that the ratification debates are probably the most important documents that you can start diving into. Now, there's a lot. Maybe I'll help you with this, and I'll probably come out with the constitutional ratification debates for dummies, something like that. I don't know. But as I've been stating, over 80% of the outlies of the federal government is on unconstitutional programs and powers. We need to reel that in. So what's it going to take? Let's help Trump. Everybody should actually be demanding, or actually just sending him emails and tweets, or however you want to interface with him, and just go to whitehouse.gov and start putting this thing in, these comments in. Use an EO to get rid of the EPA and all the unconstitutional government. If there is no amendment for it, like the Department of Transportation, then write an EO and acknowledge that this is unconstitutional. We've never received the delegated authority from the states for the federal government to do these things. Therefore, we're wasting their money. And we don't have to worry about, Congress coming up with a budget. We don't have to worry about any of these other problems. We will now have more than enough money to do the things that we're supposed to do, like building the wall, protecting the people, revamping our military, since Obama and Bush and Clinton have done nothing in helping it. And let's get this country back on track. I could just see Trump doing that. I'd love to see Trump doing that. Wouldn't you? I believe so. One of the things that I thought was really interesting that I wanted to go into was that, if you want to call it a quid pro quo, a tit for tat, whatever, when basically Pelosi grandstanded says, I don't think we're going to have a State of the Union. Trump can still do a State of the Union to the people. There's no reason why he can't have, he just won't do it in front of Congress. That's okay. He can still command the press to come forward in a very specific presentation. Just like remember when Obama came out after they supposedly they found and killed Osama bin Laden, when the truth is they really didn't. I mean, if you go back into the details on that, the Bush administration had been looking and had kind of identified where he was. The efforts in trying to find Osama bin Laden had literally began with Bush. I won't say that it didn't begin with Clinton. Clinton had no interest in it. And Bush was the one that was literally getting the intelligence community in that. And it would just became fortuitous and an opportunity. And that's exactly what Obama did, was he used the capture and killing of Osama bin Laden as a political opportunity. But anyway, I still believe that with the fact that Pelosi was going to get on a plane and him canceling that was just perfect politics. That literally played out. I don't know what your comments are, but if you want to call in, or actually, save up all your comments. You can call in on Monday if you want. I know you're probably driving. You're probably getting ready for the weekend. However, the cost of the wall being at about $50 billion, and I think that we could do better than that. I think $100 billion, that is more than enough to start purging our country from having it overran and undermined, and basically this invasion that's occurring from China, from the Latin America, from the Middle East, Asia, and all over. And I guess China, that's Asia. So there you go, a double dose. Anyway, we should be looking at actually capturing and deporting all of these people that have no business being here. They deliberately tried to undermine. There should never be, I completely agree with Ron Paul. They should never get a citizenship, period. We need to find them and actually deport them and say, look, sorry, except for maybe those that would really go back to a despotic government like the Chinese. I mean, maybe we can send them down to Mexico and say, become a citizen down there, and then come here and apply. Because it seems like Mexico is starting to warm up to, all these caravans and so forth, because it seems like every time they let people in, that is the same thing as granting them asylum. They may not officially be giving them papers, but they need to be. you know, because they are now living and walking through their nation. Why aren't they becoming, you know, citizens, or why aren't they becoming a part of the Mexican culture, and why can't they assimilate there? And then they can worry about assimilating to the next level, because Mexico is so much better than where they came from. You got to admit that. It is so much better. As I was saying, though, the upfront cost in doing all of this, building the wall and actually doing an operation of literally identifying illegals and sending them back to the country of origin so that they can go through the process properly, would be the best spent $100 billion. And if you look at how much we spend on some of these other departments, that's a drop in the bucket, literally a drop in the bucket. And so, as I can see, I literally got another hard break coming around the corner. We will be getting into some more of Trump's campaign promises in the last segment. But as I said, Trump can do all of this with EOs. There's no doubt in my mind. It's not legislating. It is enforcing the law. When we come back, I'll try to go through some things that might have been interesting, but I'm going to use it as a marketing advantage. So please stay tuned, and we will be right back with some more marketing for you. Thank you so much. Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcast and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Moby Strip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Moby Strip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
So let me just talk real quick, because this kind of bubbled up in the Need to Know News with G. Edward Griffin, that the owners of the company that started manufacturing OxyContin, they pretty much boasted the fact that that particular drug would create a prescription blizzard. And so as this news starts to come, as it's kind of like as we started finding out the tobacco companies were you know, pumping all sorts of addictive chemicals as well as other things within the tobacco. They do the same thing with coffee or, you know, booze and so forth. That's okay if it's a free market. It's not necessarily okay if you're really trying to enslave people and get people addicted. But, you know, we all have our own vices. I get that. But when it comes to something that actually had become a, what do you want to call it, an epidemic of death, then I honestly think that the owner of that company actually should be held liable for, you know, for literally creating so much death. And so I guess it's Purdue Pharma is the company that kind of is behind all of that. And shame on them. I think that there may be some merit or maybe a class action lawsuit for all those who've lost their loved ones to go after them, to say, you know, look, you guys knew that this would become an addictive thing. And the likelihood, of course, would be that people would die from this becoming addicted and abusive or what have you, overdosing. Anyway, another thing that is also bubbled up in the news because of the government shutdown, if you hadn't heard, there have been over 40,000 immigration hearings that have been canceled. Now, so is this hyperbole or what? Are you going to tell me that these things were canceled? 40,000? How many cases could they hear in a week, a month, or what have you? Why are they not canceling or actually rescheduling these things? You know, like FIFO, right? First in, first out. So, okay, we're not going to be able to operate this week. So these are postponed to this date. And you just kind of leapfrog things down. You just keep leapfrogging instead of just canceling. If they actually cancel, then the people that pulled the trigger are part of the deep state and are culpable of literally, you know, making it so that these people literally hide in the woodwork. Now, we already know that most of those who are called for immigration hearings don't show. I mean, it's a high percentage, very high percentage. That's because most of those people don't care about the process of becoming a citizen. They really don't. They're just here to exploit our system and get on the rolls so that they can have their free handouts, because that's what America is. And that literally was the whole point of creating this welfare state was literally driven by this Cloward Piven strategy. And if you didn't also know, a part of that strategy was to replace Americans in full force. And this is literally happening in California and lots of other places. They are displacing. As people like myself, who's a refugee from California, had displaced and went somewhere else, well, what is left behind? They are literally trying to take full ownership of that state. Trump needs to stop this invasion. The Constitution demands, Article 4, Section 4, and even the 14th Amendment demands that he stop this and go after those who are allowing it to happen. You probably also heard, and I know that there's a lot of people that are talking about David Webb and how a CNN legal analyst accuses him of benefiting from white privilege. Then all of a sudden, that backfired on him because he's not white. Now, I like David. I think that he's a good conservative entertainer, but just like all the rest of them, I mean, you know, it would be one thing if the CNN legal analyst says this guy doesn't understand the Constitution. He really doesn't. And I would go, okay, there's lots of conservative entertainers, but I will tell you that, you know, there's very few people that are actually in front of a microphone that really understand the Constitution. There are very few of them. As a matter of fact, I hear most people. I can't tell you, you know, big league names like Bill O'Reilly. I mean, he has to have people come in to kind of explain it after I poke him in the eye. Or Megyn Kelly. I can't tell you how livid I've gotten when she's basically misinterprets, or I should say even interprets. She misasserts and literally obfuscates the reality of our Constitution. One time she was excoriating Governor Abbott over the Convention of States, and she made a comment, that's not what the Constitution, to say that in the Constitution. I'm going, you got to be kidding me. Is she that big of an idiot? Well, there's lots of people that have been drinking the Kool-Aid, and that's why it's so important. That's why I tell people all the time, my friends, that if you understand the importance of reading scriptures and understanding why you need to do it on a regular basis, it's the same thing regarding our founding documents. If you do not understand our founding documents, the scriptures and what have you, then how can you recognize the perversion of those things that are founded in them? How can you realize that, oh, we're living under tyranny. We're this is not what's supposed to be happening, or that's not what God intended, right? The whole point of reading them is so that you are not only just familiar, but profoundly familiar and understanding the reasons why these things were done. The ratification debates actually do that. They actually expound upon why they were doing these things as they argued back and forth between the Federalists and the Anti-Federalists. And I'm telling you, it was very, if you want to call it hostile, I mean, I don't think there was any duels that came out of it, but there was one point in time, I think, I forget the gentleman's name, that insulted Patrick Henry. But that, people thought, oh boy, this could go to a duel, because Patrick Henry really took offense and I won't even say chided. I mean, I think he just did a scorched earth on this kid. And I think the kid learned his lesson to not to mess with Patrick Henry. One other alarming thing before I get into some other things, because this is really important, because we've been talking about socialism and its growth here. A new poll shows that 59% of Americans support raising the top tax to 70%. Do you understand what this means? That people believe in the concept of taking from those who have and giving to those who have not. This is fundamental communism. So let me start, because I told you this is about marketing. These segments are about marketing. Even going through the Trump campaign promises. What do you mean marketing, GR? What does all this mean? What I mean by marketing is that if I show you all of this empirical data and evidence that is clearly overwhelming us that we are at the brink of collapse, then I believe you might actually get motivated to do something that will really fix the problem. And what is the only thing that will really fix the problem? Well, you tell me, because I'm telling you that only an audit and Republic Review will actually do this. If you've got some other idea, then call. Let me know what that is. But if you don't, then I would say we're running out of time for you to get on board. We've just got a few years, and there's a lot of things that need to be done between now and then to get this done. You know, that hourglass, you know, with the sand dropping down, that thing's, you know, constantly running. And every grain that falls, we can't replace that up top. And there's no reset. So we have to maximize on the time that we have. It's called opportunity costs. And what we have to do is we have to maximize everything that we're doing. Every dollar we spend, every minute of the day we are expending in whatever it is, if it is not to help and to, you know, undo this damage and to save this republic, then I'm here to tell you, we've got a real mess, we've got a real problem, and we're not going to get it fixed if we do not get engaged. We have to get engaged, period. So I hope you garner that. So let me give you maybe one or two more things. I'm not sure if you really care what's going on in Russia, Crimea, and all of that. I don't. I think that the international affairs, they're going to be problems. We just have to be able to deal with those things that directly affect us. I know Russia and Putin are bad players. I know that China is a bad player. We need to be ready and in a position and have a defense that is able to defend us as well as our commerce abroad and the flowing of commerce, whether that be going to countries and so forth. I like what Trump is doing in positioning and finally calling China out for what it is. We also need to be cognizant of the fact that China is a brutal government and they have no care for life, humanity, and their ever ratcheting up of rhetoric towards war is literally taking us in that direction. Their interest in the moon and satellites is not in the interest of humanity or the world. Their interests and efforts are strictly militarily for geopolitical reasons, or in this case, celestial political reasons. They're not up there trying to grow food just on the dark side of the moon so that they can, you know, show people that they're going to start cultivating space. Heck no. It's all about taking ownership. And you look at what they're doing out in the South China Seas. They're literally trying to annex. They're doing the same thing that Japan did that got them into World War II. Brutally annexing things and taking over. Look at what they're trying to do to Taiwan. China is a bad player. They have no intentions in trying to be honorable and what's best for the people. Which, what is best for the people, my friends? The founders had it. They hit the nail on the head. It is individual liberty and individual sovereignty, letting the people have control of their own destinies and control of their government. With that, we will be back with some Trump campaign promises. We'll be right back after this. Thank you so much. Folks, Red State Talk Radio has brought back its monthly newsletter. I know everyone gets a lot of emails, but this is not a daily or weekly newsletter. It's a monthly newsletter. So you will not be overwhelmed with a plethora of emails from Red State Talk Radio. Come on, it's only once a month. I'll be contributing a constitutional perspective to one of the current issues to help everyone see an alternative perspective, or what I believe would be a framer's perspective regarding the issue to help us maintain a constitutional paradigm. I will also provide information regarding a significant historical context to the time of year so that we can remember our history, so we will not be doomed to repeat the inevitable failings from forgetting our past and origins. Just go to Red State Talk Radio and sign up for the newsletter. This way you can get a focused view of what is going on in the Republic as well as what is going on at Red State Talk Radio. Thank you.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255. Okay, so we're in the regulations part of the Trump campaign promises. And so let me just kind of dive into the next one, which is the last one of this category. And it basically, he promised to order all agencies and department heads to identify all needless job-killing regulations and then remove them. That's a good promise. But I think the better promise would be identify all the unconstitutional regulations, roles, responsibilities, and powers and kill them. Then I think that would be, you know, the right step, because that would get rid of all of these problems that we have. Healthcare. So Jenna Johnson has a class or a group of campaign promises regarding healthcare. And the first one is completely repeal the Affordable Care Act and replace it with something terrific that is so much better, so much better, so much better. Americans will have great healthcare at a fraction of the cost. Trump plans to call Congress into a special session to do this, which will likely be unnecessary. Now, that's a little editorializing by Jenna. But then again, you know, that's how you can identify their biases. But anyway, my whole point is that here is one that he actually called to repeal and replace, and they never did it. Congress ran. That was the mantra of 2016, repeal and replace, repeal and replace. And so now that they had the trifecta, what did they do? Congress failed to do that. We need to go rhino hunting. We need to make rhinos extinct. And the only way to do that is for the party to take full control over their brand, so that when a politician runs amok and goes rogue like like John McCain, then they need to basically kick that guy out, take the Republican moniker away from him and say, let's see if you can make senator this next time around with just your name recognition, especially since we're going to do this in public and tell people why we're taking away the Republican moniker from you. That would be a career killer for anybody that is in Republican districts, because the Republican, and as a matter of fact, I'm telling you, wouldn't you just take a huge sigh of relief and just be so thankful that the Republican Party is looking after your back? That's exactly what we need the Republican Party to do, so we can trust them again. That's, we shouldn't have to. If they had a process and a system that kept people in line, we wouldn't have to worry too much about it. As a matter of fact, I would hate to say that we would be able to become complacent, but as long as everything's transparent, we can go to the Republican Party and say, okay, how are these people doing? And they have all the data. I mean, as long as everything's transparent, life gets a little bit easier when you can live with a little blind trust. Isn't it nice to have, I mean, how many of you are married? Isn't it nice if you're in the kind of a marriage, at least like I am, where you have a blind trust with your partner? Isn't that nice? You not have to worry about, you know, all sorts of, you know, baggage and issues and problems. So the next one on healthcare, 53, eliminate the individual mandate, as no person should be required to buy insurance unless he or she wants to. Well, that's a novel concept. But as we found out, that was the killer, because that's what the judge in Texas basically identified as the thing that made it unconstitutional. As far as I'm concerned, the Constitution, we need to tell that idiot judge that the Constitution is what made healthcare, or nationalized healthcare and Obamacare, unconstitutional. There's no enumerated power for us to be even meddling with it. 54, allow individuals to fully deduct health insurance premiums from their tax returns. We get rid of health care, we don't even have to worry about deductions, right? If you start looking at this whole picture, Republic Review and getting the federal government to compliance, we don't have to worry about even taxes. The federal government will not need to tax us, other than the fact that we have to dig out of the big hole that they've created by violating the Constitution with Medicare, with Social Security, and all of these things that they promised. We have to end these things, and we have to work our way out by paying these things off, because we owe it to the American people that have been lied to and deceived that they could do these things. And so it may take, you know, 30, 40 years. It may take that long. But when we're done, America will be flying high and firing on all cylinders, because there's no more government meddling and injecting in when you can retire, how much you're going to get, and what you have to pay. Government has no business in dictating those things. So let's move on to number 55. Knock down the regulatory walls between states for health insurance. Well, I mean, those walls shouldn't exist anyway. Making plans available nationally instead of regionally, insurance costs would go down and consumer satisfaction would go up. Unless government gets involved, like they have been with insurance companies, to move us towards a monopoly, a single payer system. Well, as soon as you have a monopoly, then when government is involved, it's evil. If there is a true private monopoly, it is good. That's because a true private monopoly isn't hiding behind government regulations and those types of things to protect them. They have to compete. And so if somebody like Alcoa came along and did like what Alcoa did, then there's no doubt in my mind that we would be better served by that kind of a monopoly. You have to understand, monopolies aren't bad things. Only when government gets involved do they become really bad things, or when they start colluding with other businesses and so forth, like what ended up happening with Rockefellers and the Rothschilds. Well, we'll let you monopolize energy and we'll monopolize banking. Next one, 56, expand use of health savings accounts, which allow workers to save money for medical expenses without having to pay federal income on those funds. These payments will be allowed to accumulate and can be passed on to their heirs. These funds can be used by any member of a family. And so everybody supports this, but the fact that the federal government is even involved in this is just ridiculous. They shouldn't be dictating that. That should be just a good business thing that companies are doing and that the states would support that as well. 57, encourage states to establish high-risk pools to cover individuals who have not maintained continuous coverage. And, you know, so there are people out there that literally, just played, the roulette wheel with their life and said, I'm not going to cover myself. And then all of a sudden, if they have, some people are smart enough to at least have catastrophic coverage so that if something happened in a car accident or, you know, some kind of an accident where they may not have insurance to fix it and nobody else is liable but their own dumb self, or they actually come down with cancer or some type of, life-changing disease, then that catastrophic coverage would actually cover that. 58, preserve Medicare and Medicaid, but encourage states to root out fraud, waste, and abuse. Provide states with block grants of Medicaid funds to provide more freedom in designing programs to assist low-income citizens, and or I should say families. I would much rather see the churches actually get more involved in the low income assistance. If you've ever been to the Pacific Northwest, Oregon, Washington, I don't know about Idaho, but the Sisters of Providence literally established a healthcare system, and in both Oregon and Washington, it is pretty much done. That is a nonprofit organization. And they could be doing a lot better, but the government and the government restrictions and those types of things are actually destroying those types of operations, mandating abortions and birth control and those types of things. Anyway, 59, reduce the number of individuals on Medicaid and or using the Children's Health Insurance Program. Trump would also cut any health care offered to undocumented immigrants. You know, Jenna Johnson added this as like, this is a bad thing. How about just eliminating health care benefits for everybody by the federal government? They have no business doing it. But see, people like Jenna Johnson doesn't get it. She doesn't understand that we have a limited constitution. She doesn't understand the importance of staying within a contract. I will bet you that, and I love to do this, I'll bet you she would have a real fit if the Washington Post decided to start paying her in pine cones instead of dollars. Well, the contract doesn't say that she has to be paid in, dollars. She could be paid in anything. And if pine cones were an actual commodity on the market, then maybe they could pay her in pine cones. Well, wheat is. Maybe they'll pay her in wheat. Or actually, that's kind of in the Virginia, Maryland area. Maybe cotton. Cotton is on the market. They grow it there. So, pay her in cotton instead of dollars. See how she likes that. Anyway, the whole point of all of that is the fact that we, we want our contracts to be honored, especially to the letter of the law, and that's what our Constitution is. Wouldn't we want it to be honored to the letter of the law? Number 60, make medical marijuana widely available to patients and allow states to decide if they want to fully legalize pot. Well, hey, here's an interesting thing. How about this? The federal government has no authority to decide what is illegal drugs and what isn't illegal drugs, or even the regulating pharmaceuticals and so forth. How about just letting the states take over? And if they want to have a collective standard, then let them set up the polity to do so, or a commission and or some type of... if you want to call it a miniature Congress or council or committee, let the states do what they need to do, and let's get the federal government out of the way. I am G.R. Mobley. I'm reclaiming the Republic, and I need your help. God bless. Have a great weekend. We'll be back next week. Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.